This is a digital copy of an audio cassette tape. The label on side one says Graduation Vespers, June 13th, 1971. On the side two label, it says Prat von Helen, Oscar and Oscar Rennell, 19th of January, 1972. The side one is a recording of Vesper service for the nurses graduating from Ventura Junior College in Ventura, California in 1971. One of the speakers is my mother, Doris Holmquist, who was awarded that year with the California Nurses Association Award and the Student Nurse of the Year. This tape was sent by my mother to her parents from California to her parents in Busan, Korea. They, in turn, on side two, recorded a audio letter to their son, Roy Rennell, in Sweden. The subject matter on side two has to do with various subjects, the amount of time it takes for mail to get from Sweden to Korea and vice versa. Some photos, but also negotiations for the purchase of the land that my Uncle Roy's cabin was to sit on, which was called Sulatorp, and this was outside of town of Björketorp. This is Leonard Holmquist speaking from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, in April of 2012.
Of men might hear me out. Grant us all a sense of love at this moment, O Lord, that this may not be a finalization, but indeed a door through which we walk, that all mankind might be free.
Signified the beginning of a new career and a lifelong ambition for some of us. Yet, without you, our families, our friends, and instructors, we would not be able to be on this platform today. To you, we want to give a thank you for putting up with us for so long. Many times we were discouraged, exhausted, and without strength to carry on our studies for the next exam. Dinner was late. The shirt didn't get pressed. The dress wasn't hemmed. Important engagement where we should have been were not attended. And letters to families were very few and far between. As a class, we feel that this service will help us to have more strength and dedication to help and care for those who are sick, weary, discouraged, and also to give more empathy and understanding to those relatives left behind to carry out the task that wasn't finished. For one of those which the day has ended, perhaps we will be able to help him cross that last lifespan with a little bit more ease and less loneliness if we are there and if we are present. All this is only possible because of you, that you helped us through these 2 years and then some. And with his grace, we can better pray the prayer, Lord, make us an instrument in thy peace. Where there is hatred, let us love. Where there is doubt, give us faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, some more joy. Dear Father, also grant us that we not so much seek to be consoled, but that instead we will console, to be understood as to understand, and to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we as nurses receive. Help us, Lord, to help others more. Amen.
Reading is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, first letter, 13th chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am not. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three. The greatest of these is love.
Consider all the things thy hands have done. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains' grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Our God, God of our fathers, and God of generations yet unborn. Great is your power and infinite your love. The morning stars sing of your wisdom, and the miracle of life reveals your design. Sharing in your creative work, our lives acquire an eternal quality which ennobles our life on earth. We humbly acknowledge the tasks you have laid upon us. Help us to fulfill them with reverence and courage, that we may hallow our lives as we sanctify your name. When in sickness, we turn to you, O God, for comfort and help. Deepen our faith in your merciful providence. Strengthen within us the wondrous knowledge of human healing. Guide these practitioners of nursing who, with the doctors, speed their patients' recovery. May their work fortify them with deeper faith in you and with greater love for our fellow human beings. May we gain from our work a truer appreciation of life's gifts, a deeper awareness of life's blessings, and fuller sympathy for those of us in pain. We praise you, O Lord, healer of the sick. Amen.
Welcome to the ranks of the healers. It's good to have you along. There's a great army of people who have gone on before you that are working all over the world, and certainly need dedicated people that are concerned about the welfare of individuals, and it's good to have you join us in this. I'd also like to congratulate you on finishing your course of studies. I imagine you agree with King Solomon when he said that much studying is awareness of the flesh, and glad to get that part over. But you have finished one part of your training, but the best part is still ahead. Anyone that, with diligence, can learn about diseases, medications, and bedside care. But the most important training, which you'll never finish if you're wise, is the care of people who are hurting. These are people who are hurting their bodies, they're hurting in their minds because of fear, anxiety, or people that are hurting their spirit because they lack the spiritual resources of strength and patience or courage when these are needed. Also, each of you is in a unique position to meet the needs of people and to help hold them up when they're so vulnerable to discouragement and distress. This is the time to enter into the person's life as a person, not just as a professional caretaker of bodies. I often think that somewhere in this city, there's someone who is sick right now, or someone who's going to have an accident, and I will come into their life in an unusual manner and deal with them and minister their needs. And after I'm done caring for them, they go back in the mainstream of life, often never to see me again. But what have I given to them? Or what have I shared with them? And besides caring for the wounds or giving medications and so on, the major thing is I give myself. And this applies to you, each of you, definitely, because you have to share yourself. That if you don't share yourself, you could have a machine giving out pills. So it depends on you. I heard a story of a busy missionary hospital in Africa. The government had built a new hospital close by that was completely staffed, had all the excellent equipment. In fact, in some ways, it was better than the missionary hospital. But the government hospital was just not busy at all, and the missionary hospital was overworked. And somebody went to inquire, said, well, they asked the patients, why is this? They say, well, here, the hands have love. And this is the gist of real medical care and treatment is expression of genuine concern for an individual. And this genuine concern and love cuts across things like coffee breaks, leaving work exactly on time, or continuing a casual conversation when the light goes on. You know, if you've been in hospital, you know what I'm talking about. St. Paul, in one of his letters, said that through love we are to serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, my wife and I and our three children are leaving for Peru in about 6 weeks. We're spending 4 years working with the Indians in the jungles of Peru. I'll be doing medical work work in a hospital. I'll also be training Indian men in basic medical care, sort of Corman-type medicine, so they can go back to take care of their own people. There's so many people that need medical care that I can't take care of them all myself, so by training these men, in a sense, they're an extension of me. My wife and I are concerned about these people because of their medical problems, which I can deal with, and also for their relationships with so-called civilization. Civilization is creeping into the jungle, usually breaking down mores and cultural institutions. Just since 1900, 300 Indian tribes have disappeared in Brazil alone because of, quote, civilization moving in and destroying them. We have little in our North American affluent materialistic society to offer to these people, especially to an Indian man who is trying to maintain his own sense of identity and usefulness in a crushing new civilization coming on. But we can and do offer love and concern for them, which crosses every language and culture. So this is what I'm talking about, love and commitment to the individuals who are receiving the love. I take a different approach from Charlie Brown, who said, "I love mankind, but I can't stand people." I think it's backwards. I personally feel that mankind is hopeless and often sort of stupid. But individual people, can be loved and understood and cared for. And especially in times of trial and despair. And when a person is sick, it seems like the roof falls in. They can be despairing. They're uncertain about the future. What's going to happen to me? Am I going to die? Am I going to get well? Am I going to hurt? So to you nurses, I want to raise some questions. How can you help someone who's afraid of the future, afraid of pain, or afraid of dying? You can't give another person more than what you already have yourself. So this falls back on what are your own emotional and spiritual resources. Are they like a dry creek bed or an artesian well that is always being replenished? Jesus said that whoever would drink the water that he would give them would never be thirsty. The water would become a well of water springing up, like an artesian well. Jesus also said that he came that people might have life and have it abundantly. He says that it's an abundant life. It's one that's full and overflowing, one that there is plenty left over to share with others. The artesian well is one that's supplied by water from outside. Water comes from outside and it's constantly being filled up. And for us to be needing the deep needs of others, we have to have life from outside of ourselves. All we have to do is ask God to give us his life so that that's all of us, each of us, can share it with others to give calmness to the anxious, hope to the fearful, and love to the depressed people that we take care of. What kind of peace can you offer to someone who is worried about what's going to happen? Jesus again said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor don't let it be afraid. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have trials and tribulations, but take courage, I have overcome the world." St. Paul said to some people in one of the cities in Greece, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted with." There's some real pearls in this. But it gets back to sharing our own things that have been comfort to us and sharing them with others. So this gets back into the need to have our own spiritual resources, which we can fall back on and share. All of us have problems which are perplexing as part of life, and they cause bewilderness. We don't know what to do sometimes. And we can share these comforts that we have experienced with someone else. If nothing else, our sharing indicates an empathy which is usually quickly perceived by those that are having the problem. And this provides a bridge by which we can enter into the troubled person's life and help them and support them in these problems. The one who is weary with life and distraught and in despair, Jesus addressed him. He said, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest." Now the motive underlying our involvement in the life of others is what is most important. The motive affects and determines what we do and how we do it. St. Paul told the people in the Ephesian church to do their work as a service rendered to Christ himself, not with the idea of currying favor with men, but as the servants of Christ, conscientiously doing the will of God. And again, this involves things like coffee breaks, quitting time, things like this. This is our work, to concernedly love others in a helping and upbuilding way through strength which can come only from outside of ourselves. The source is Jesus Christ who has promised to meet all of our needs and the needs of those we aid. Through our personal concern, we can communicate hope and comfort and genuine love. I'd like to share with you a paraphrase of the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, a man who is deeply involved in the cares and concerns of others. Lord, make me an instrument of thy love. Where your love is undiscovered, let it be revealed in me. Where there is sickness, let me share health. Where there is poverty, wealth. Where there is ignorance, knowledge. Where there is fear, security. Where there is anguish, gladness. Divine Master, grant that I may not seek so much to be comfortable as to comfort. To be remembered as to remember. To be served as to serve. For it is in laying down our lives that we take yours. And it is in trusting that we are strengthened, and it is in knowing thee that we are fulfilled.
You'll notice on your bulletins that it says, I guess this is a bulletin, but it's a program. It says that this is by the Gideons. This is really the Gideon Auxiliary. Some of you folks may not know who the Gideons are. Just a brief word of explanation. The Gideons are Christian men who give out the Word of God, Bible. This is just a testament. But the Gideons give Bibles to, they put them in the hotels, the motels, the servicemen are given Bibles. We give them out to fifth graders in the school. And the next, as the fourth graders come up, why, they get a Bible, that is, if the school board permits us to. They're given in many places and many countries. We have Gideon groups that are working in 87 countries now, foreign countries. And the Gideons have bilingual Bibles, the English and the Japanese, the English and the Chinese, and so on, that are given out and distributed overseas. We are the Gideon's wives, the Gideon Auxiliary, and our ministry is in giving these nurses' testament, the little white testament, and praying for the men. Praying for the men is really a big job, too, to keep the men in line, to keep them doing God's word, God's work in God's way. But that's, I don't mean by that, that the men get out of line, but I do mean that praying is really work. And if we're faithful in a prayer ministry, God really blesses. You may think, well, why do you do this? Why are you spending your money to give out Bibles and give out testaments? You know, God promises that this word shall not return unto him void. God promises that this word has power to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God, to him by faith. There's so many promises in the word, and every one of them are true. In this word, it tells us how to prepare for eternity. And my, what a blessing it is that that nurses who are with people when they die. One moment the soul is still in this body. The next moment the soul is gone. Death has come. All of us are one breath away from eternity, aren't we? And nurses have the privilege of, if the patient asks, I know something about nurses' ethics. I used to be a nurse myself. But if the patient wants spiritual help, the nurse has the privilege. And how wonderful it is if a nurse will carry this testament in the pocket of their uniform. This is one reason why we made it white, so that it could be carried in their white uniforms. To have a testament nearby, I have known times in hospitals where they've had to search and search for a Bible when a patient wanted the word read before, when he knew that he was going to pass into eternity. You know, our God controls life, yours and mine. And he controls death, yours and mine. And this word tells us how to prepare for eternity. Because there is more than physical life, it's wonderful. And these girls are starting on a wonderful profession, nursing profession, taking care of the sick. But there is also a spiritual life, and many people are sick spiritually. And here's the medicine for a spiritually sick person. As we give these testaments to the nurses, we do it with a prayer, and that prayer is that you'll read them. God can't speak through a closed Bible, but he does speak, and he's promised to speak through a word that's read, especially if it's read with a willing heart. God wants that his word shall be read and believed. So we do pray that you girls will read the word. And as you read the word, you meet the three persons of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They can become very, very real to each of you through faith. In this book that we give to you nurses, besides just the words of the New Testament, we have the book of Psalms in the back. In the front, there are some helps for the nurses. And then on the inside of the back page, there's the Florence Nightingale Pledge, which you nurses probably know. Let me give you just one verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God says, my word shall never pass away. What a privilege it is to give out that which is going to last throughout all eternity, that which has value, that which can save souls, and that which can change lives. And as we give these testaments, would you come up and tell me? We do give it with the prayer that you girls will read them. That thou wilt speak to their own hearts through this wonderful word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Hello, Roy. This is Busan, Wednesday, the 19th of January, 1972. We are continuing on a tape sent to us by Dodo. It is about her graduation. As you know, she is now a registered nurse. We want you to keep this tape so that no other recording can be made on it. We think it is of historical interest. But we are going to continue using the part of the tape which she did not use, so that you can get a few words or greetings from us. We thank you very much for one tape which has just arrived. Also your letter concerning Björk Torp. Both of these came today. And your photos came a couple of days ago. So we have received all this with thanks, and it has not taken too long time between Sweden and Korea. Only 5 days, the last one. Now you complain that our letter sent to you on December 29th and January the 1st took quite a long time. I don't think this depends on the strike in Japan or the war in India, Pakistan. It was sent just at the end of the year and the beginning of the next year. Now here in Korea they have at least 3 days holiday, at least 3 days holiday. So that's probably the reason why you receive both letters at the same time. Now I'm speaking in English, as you understand. I've heard that your English has been greatly improved. It was even better when Lenny left before or just when he had arrived. And maybe it is a good thing for you to brush up a little English, practice a little bit, and I'm sure you will be very fluent in your English. So my part of this tape will be given to you in English. Well, of course, we thank you very much for tape, letters, and photos. I think Helen has already done this in letters to you, with the exception of the last tape and letter which has just been received today. You sound very happy and bright in your recording, and that is a very good thing. You are not taking your accident too seriously. I am sure that it you must have hurt your knee and your foot very badly. And even if you don't say so, you must feel it. Of course, it is not good to have water in the knee. I hope that will not be too painful. I quite understand that a sprain or broken ankle, foot, and knee must take quite a long time. I think it is a good idea not to use it too much. If you can save walking and rest as much as possible, I think it is a good thing. Well, anyway, we wish you a speedy recovery. The photos you sent us from our home in Tuschlander are very good. You must have worked very hard to remodel the kitchen, the hall, and also Helen's room. It is like a new home, and Helen would kind of be a stranger if she would walk in there.
I am now.
Now, of course, after seeing the pictures, it is different. Well, you've done a good job, and we think everything is wonderful. The photo of the new house is very good under the light conditions which you had mentioned. You said it was rather dark, and you took 2.8 by 1/15 of a second. I think the pictures have turned out very, very well. Of course, using Agfa, I don't think is so good as Kodak. You know I'm a Kodak man. But as you bought your Agfa very cheaply, it was probably a very good buy, and I think the pictures have turned out quite all right. You mentioned in your letter Björke Torp. You have been with the lady to a certain office, I mean Helga, and you have started negotiations for the purchase of the ground. I don't think there should be any difficulties. As long as we have the money to be able to pay for the ground and afterwards also for the house. I think the design of the house, the blueprints, seem to be very good and practical. You seem to have a lot of friends all around in Björke Torp, and the place is not too far away from the birthplace of the Swedish Baptists, and Valesvik, I mean, and in case there are something special there, that may be a good thing. It would not be difficult to find our way over there. Well, what about the well, the water problem? We still have to dig our own well, or is there any other possibility of somebody else helping out? I mean, with water connections, which of course must be paid. You have had a lot of visitors during the last few days of the year and the new year. Dodo has written about Lenny's visit, and he was very happy to be with you, and he liked you very much. You say in your tape that in spite of only being there a few days, you really miss Lenny. So I guess this friendship is both sides, and that is always a good thing. And Jim has also been there.
He likes him too.
That's a new acquaintance, and a very nice acquaintance, I'm sure. I'm sure Jim enjoyed himself during his short stay with you. And then you've had visitors. You have been with Jan, or Jan, John, whatever you call him, the Hrebstedts, and maybe others. Well, Lude has also been there, of course, and helped you out when you really needed her help very much. And you got Christmas gifts from the Carlsons. Well, they seem to be very generous. They gave you a big present, and they also gave us a very generous present. Now, you know that we have asked the director of the CPS in Seoul to write Socialstyrelsen, and they say they have done this, but no papers have yet arrived in Seoul from the Carlsons through Socialstyrelsen in Stockholm. I guess it is only a question of time, as they already have their children. Now, we are working on a problem for others, and in spite of the fact that we have not received papers for them, the Carlsons, we have told the director to go ahead as if he had already received the papers from them. So we do not want to delay this in any way. We have already two Korean friends belonging to our mission, Mr. Kim and Mr. Young, who are going to escort them. We are working on their passports. It's very difficult for Koreans to leave the country, and they must have real documents in order to do this. The chairman of the NBCM in Denmark has written a very fine invitation to them and sent this through the Korean embassy. in Stockholm. Of course, the embassy will forward this to the Foreign Affairs office in Seoul, and they will investigate the condition of both Kim and Young before they will permit them to have an okay or to receive a passport. But we do not think there will be any trouble along this line. We were sorry to hear that Carola's husband died so suddenly, but we are glad that you arranged the flowers and also expressed our deep sympathies. You have received the journal The East. I have subscribed to it. I've had this paper for some time, but I'm telling them to send it directly to Tuschlander, and other newspapers will also be sent directly. We get the Geographic magazine from Dodo and Bud as a present. It has been sent to Korea, but we have asked them to forward it or to change our address and forward it to Tuschlander after this. You mentioned that you received a carving. I think it is a kind of gift because I have subscribed to the journal The East. We have sent other parcels to you from Japan. Now, two book parcels and then another parcel with clothes from Nojiri. I hope you have received them. You have not mentioned anything about them, but I take it for granted almost that they have been received. But you can tell us in a tape or in a letter whether they have arrived or not. It was, of course, silly to ask you to work while you are having sick aid, and it was good that you did not do it. Jan was very generous to do that in your stead. I hope you will be feeling much better within a month. If you can start work again, I think you are very, very lucky. Now, I'm not the only one speaking to you on this tape. Helen wants to say something too. She thinks it's hard lines on your car giving you this trouble, and probably it means quite an expense also. Well, I'll turn the mic over to Helen, and she can answer more of your questions or give you some idea of her comments.
Oh, hej på dig, pojken min. Tycker alltid var bra synd om att du var ensam på julafton. Men du låter så check och du skryter att det är skönt att ha gott om lutfisk. Jag tror aldrig jag skulle kunna sätta in mig så mycket lutfisk. Ja du, det här korten som jag skrev, hur stiligt det är hemma. Och faktiskt jag undrar vad den väggen, vad finns den väggen då? Och som jag sa att jag helt knappast hittar där hemma. Jag tycker hallen har nog vunnit väldigt mycket att den där stora hyllan kom bort. Och det där som jag kallar fönstret i köket, det får du tala om vad det är för något. Är det just en hylla? Men det verkar som ett litet fönster och det ser väldigt käckt ut tycker jag. Och tallrikarna, att de är, jag hyllar mina jag som är under tallrikarna. Det förstår du ju. Och det är ju väldigt bra att tallrikarna har kommit högre upp. Det nämnde jag också i mitt brev. Nu undrar jag om du har tagit ut de pengarna till dig själv som du skulle ha för arbetet hemma. Och det antar jag att du har gjort. Men jag förstår inte riktigt vilket som är, hur mycket vi har och hur mycket du har kvar på kontot. Men det är klart att du ska ta ut så du får för det. Hur mycket får du i sjukpenning? Och så säger du att jag ska skriva till Helga. Ja, det ska jag väl göra. Jag känner henne inte, men jag får skriva och fråga om jag kallar henne för Helga. Fast hon kanske är ett par år äldre än vad jag är. Men hon verkar ju väldigt pigg och check när hon kan läsa engelska och vad du sa, gå på flera kurser. Och där det tackar för att jag skötte om blommorna. Och det gör jag också. Och så när du går in nästa gång i blomsteraffären, där ska du hälsa sig väldigt mycket från mig. De är väldigt checka, det där unga paret. Och det är de som fortfarande har det kvar. Så kan jag hälsa ifrån, jo, när det gällde Helga var sant, så talade vi om att du hade en som hette Gunnar som skulle hjälpa till med elektriska i huset. Och det är ju alla tiders. Jag tycker lilla stugan ser så hemtrevlig ut. Så det kommer nog bli alla tider som vi kan klara av det hela. Ja, i eftermiddag så reste jag ut för att hälsa på våra barn som vi säger. De är för söta och den lilla tysten kramar jag om och jag pratar och pratar med henne. Men jag kan bara prata på japanska, jag tycker jag ska säga något. Men hon smilar så gott. Och jag hade kex med mig till dem. Och de har ritat en del. Hade ritat av mig och jag var alltså mormor. Och så hade de ritat några blommor. Och de ska jag skicka till Viola och Kalle som en hälsning ifrån dem. Flickan hon var, är ni bra igen? Jag kanske talar om för dig att hon har haft influensa och hon hade legat på sjukhuset en vecka. Men nu såg hon så duktig ut, det är bara kanske lite blek, men nu har jag köpt vitaminer som hon ska ta in. Och så säger de klaff. Jag ska tala om för dig att du sa på bandet att nu har jag varit genom Ludda att du har köpt en klaff till väggen i sängkammaren. Så klaffen kommer ifrån här. Och då jag sa klaffen så menar jag inte alls att du ska hålla klaffen utan den ska gå på som den har gjort hittills. Och det måste också se trevligt ut med det där bordet eller klaffen och vad du nu skriver. Vad heter det nu? Eller det skrivbord var det va? Nu vet jag inte, nu tror jag nästan att bandet är slut snart. Och nu hoppas jag att du kryar på dig riktigt duktigt. Och jag ska prata in när vi har köpt ett band så ska jag prata in lite mer. Jag ville att det skulle